Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So much to discuss with Mike, including his new book. We're going to have him on for a longer visit. Ideally, Mike, let's have you in studio and talk about your book and get into it. And I know you've been traveling the country promoting the book, and I'm going to talk about it at the end. But it just seems like lately that RFK Jr., the Florida Surgeon General, and COVID vaccines, the stories, the news I'm watching is to me, is stupefying and frightening. So let's talk about today, what has happened in Minnesota, where the governor, Tim Walz, has issued an executive order which directs the Department of Health to expand its efforts to protect vaccine access in Minnesota. This comes in response to action by RFK Jr. Let's just talk about what RFK Jr. has done and what the agency has done in making it significantly more difficult if you want to get the COVID vaccine. We're not talking about requiring you to get the vaccine, but if you want to get it, the changes RFK Jr. has made to make it more difficult, thus the governor responding today.
Well, first of all, thanks, Chad, for having me on again. Let me just remind the listeners who may not remember this, but, you know, I've served in every role in every presidential administration since Ronald Reagan, when I worked on HIV/AIDS and the AIDS Commission. All the way up through in Trump 1, I was a science envoy for the State Department and served for 2 years in that role. So, you know, as you know, and I've also worked for two Democratic governors, two Republican governors, and as I say, with great affection, one independent wrestler. And, you know, no one would know my partisan politics. I'm just a private in the public health army. That's my job. I'm supposed to help however I can. And so my comments today are really very much in that vein. And I think that's important. So let me just frame where we're at right now. We are at a critical crossroads in this country, unlike any I've seen in my 50 years in the business. We have a choice. Are we going to go with science, that which has brought us increases in life expectancy, a much, much healthier world overall, and with many, many scientific findings that have brought great advances to our society? Are we going to go with that, or are we going to go with magic smoke and mirrors? And the magic smoke and mirrors has every real reason why for us to believe that millions of people globally will die over the kinds of things that are happening right now. You've never heard me talk like this before, ever. Because I've never, ever sensed something as potentially damaging and literally destructive to our society. That's what we're up against right now.
What scares you most about RFK Jr.?
The fact of the matter is that he is not a truthful individual. You know, I've seen that happen time and time again where he will say things. I mean, last week in the hearing, he made statements about the vaccine and only to be reminded of those statements several minutes later. He said, I never said that. It's right there on tape. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And the challenge with that is it underlies all of the concerns that so many people will have when they hear him talk that, well, I can't believe this or I can't believe that or I don't know if this is right. I mean, let me just give you an example. Right now, as I'm out here talking about the potential for another pandemic, and one of the real very high-risk issues is influenza. We know that we could have another 1918-like event, which was catastrophic, even more so than we saw with COVID. And that could happen starting tomorrow. Our global capacity to make influenza vaccines are very limited. We still largely grow the virus in chicken eggs to get it to make into vaccine. Well, in a year's time, we could only make enough vaccine for about a quarter of the world. That's it. After a pandemic begins, you know, three quarters of the world on their own. Well, this new mRNA technology that we are using for COVID actually has the potential to be also used for influenza in a way that we could make enough vaccine within the first year to vaccinate the whole world. The difference between those two scenarios is millions and millions of lives. And their lives are right here in our own hometown. And I can tell you right now that when they disbanded the $500 million investment in bringing these vaccines forward and doing the research to make sure that they were effective and they were safe, basically gutted that possibility. That's the kind of decision-making that isn't about a couple of lives. This is about millions of lives. So to me, that's the challenge we have right now is how do we convey to the general population why you should be concerned about this? This is not just whether you can get a vaccine or not. Very critical. This is about decisions like that that are tearing apart the public health response that we have worked so hard to develop.
Mike Ostrom, a frequent guest on this show for almost 25-some years. His newest book is out, The Big One, How We Must Prepare for Future Deadly Pandemics. We're going to talk at length with Mike about the book when his schedule slows down and we can get him in studio. I watched a lot of those hearings, Mike. And for the first texter or the 100th texter is going to say, well, it was just Democrats going at RFK Jr. Here's what I'm going to say. You didn't watch. You did not watch, because among the most specific and vigorous were two Republican doctors, John Barrasso and Bill Cassidy. And they were specific in their questions and their comments. And as usual, RFK Jr. had no response outside of denying what is demonstrably true, because he just lies so frequently he can't even keep track, I don't think, when he's telling the truth.
Yeah, and that's the thing that scares me, because, you know, the fact of the matter is that as we're doing this work in public health, we do need to work closely with the community. In the book, I talk about the failures in communication, the challenges that we had during the pandemic, that we could have done a much better job in relating to the public. So it's not like I'm sitting here declaring we know what's right, you don't. We have work to do. But the bottom line is it's based on the science. It's based on the real facts. I mean, for example, 155 kids have died this past year from COVID. And all we're asking for is allow parents, if they want to get their kids vaccinated, they can. As you said, it's not a mandate. We know that pregnant women are at much higher risk of having a very serious outcome with COVID if they're pregnant. And in fact, he has taken vaccine away from them. And there is no scientific data to support this. In fact, our center is leading a national effort right now called the Vaccine Integrity Project to actually evaluate very, very rigorously the data that exists for these vaccines like COVID, influenza, and RSV. And we find the tremendous benefit from these vaccines in reducing serious illness. Now, let me be clear. These vaccines are good, but they're not great. They won't necessarily stop you from becoming infected and maybe even infectious, but they are amazing at reducing serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. Why would we deny somebody that vaccine if they want to take it? Again, no mandates. That's the kind of thing that's dangerous. That's ideologically a decision, not scientifically a decision.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple last points with Mike Ostrom, normally with us longer, but very busy and taking some time to join us on his schedule. Let's talk about what the Florida Surgeon General did, trying to separate from the other 49 states with school kids and schools saying no longer mandates for vaccines, which kids have been taking for decades, which has eliminated diseases, lessened diseases. I watched his interview with Jake Tapper yesterday, where Tapper at one point said, can you run us through the statistical data which backed up this decision to end the long-held, across the country in every state, childhood vaccine mandates, and the Florida Surgeon General said, we didn't do any. We did none of that. Think about that. That's again, it's another moment I'm watching TV, Mike, saying, is this really happening?
Yeah. And that's what I'm dealing with every day. And let me just offer a perspective on what happened in Florida. You know, one of the reasons why we have vaccine mandates is that these vaccines are not perfect, meaning 100% of people are not all protected. 97% of the people with measles vaccine, mumps, they're incredible, okay? But they're not absolutely perfect. Why do we want to have kids vaccinated mandates? Because it's also a collective community good. Because when in that room, 95% or more of the kids are vaccinated, the chance of you infecting one of those children who comes into that classroom with an immune compromised condition, somebody who would be at a much higher risk of serious illness, you help protect them as a community good by having so many people vaccinated. So it's a two-pronged issue. It's about protecting your own kids or yourself, but it's also helping to protect others. And, you know, these are very, very effective vaccines, the polio vaccine, you know, the measles vaccines, the mump vaccine, rubella. Those are the kind that we're mandating for kids, okay? And I can tell you right now, you know, when Mr. Kennedy said, well, none of these vaccines have been studied where they do what we call a randomized controlled trial, where, you know, half of them get a placebo, you know, an inert substance, and nobody knows who gets which, half get the vaccine. And he said, you know, this is, in fact, is they're not safe. Well, the 12 childhood vaccines we're talking about, we identified 511 placebo-controlled trial studies, meaning, you know, the data are overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like you and I haven't gone out and studied whether red lights mean you should stop or not.
Right.
You know, maybe we should do a study to find if that's what that is. That's exactly where we're at. So it's unfortunate that we get distracted into these other side issues based on dis or misinformation. These vaccines in kids make a difference. We know today that there are probably over 100 million children in this world that basically in recent years are alive because of childhood vaccines.
Last thing, and I'll let you go after this. I thought it was notable on Friday when the president was asked about this. And normally, I think a lot of people would expect him to say, good on Florida, you know, give more parents the choice. The president went out of his way to talk about vaccines that clearly have worked. So he continues to be in this odd spot, Mike, where he wants to tout Operation Warp Speed. He wants to tout vaccines, but he knows there are tens of millions of his supporters who basically want to dismiss all vaccines because they didn't agree with some of the comments when we were trying to figure out what COVID vaccines could do or mandates, which may have been wrong. It's perfectly fair debating that, but now want to eliminate all vaccines, and the president isn't addressing that part of his base.
Well, I obviously can't and won't get into the politics of all of this. As I've said before, my job is to just serve in the public health army, and you know, I'm just a private in that. But I can surely tell you that today a parent, a young couple who has a child who are debating whether to get their child vaccinated or not, because of the kind of information that gets shared out there that's just factually not true. And so our job is just to continue to provide them with that information, let them understand the best we can why these vaccines are so beneficial and what they mean or what they do. And, you know, the president and everyone else will speak to the importance of these vaccines as they are. I mean, as a scientist, I'm just going to stick my nose to the grindstone and just keep putting out the best scientific data we can.
Travel safe, sir, and we'll see you back when
you get
in town.
Look for it. Thanks,
Mike,
Chad.
Mike Ostrom, right, again, the new book out, The Big One, How We Must Prepare for Future Deadly Pandemics.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.